Have you noticed something about everyone who gets up here to speak? And I thought it was just me, but everyone kind of gravitates to the right. And with Margaret not here, maybe I can resist that temptation. But I think with Karen over there, I won't be able to, because she claps and smiles and says amen. And Margaret, too, they're shaking their head. And it just kind of makes you want to, like, yeah. So come on, Dennis and Bill. Start amening and clapping. And, or maybe some of y'all can move over here. No. Yeah. Wasn't that music good? It kind of felt like a little rocky start, but it built up. And those last two songs were amazing. And I'd love, actually, like to start having a song before the preaching, because I just wanted to get up and start preaching. There was an anointing here, and I was like, wow, that's good. And that's what we need. We need God. We need Him to talk to us, right? So I'll tell you a little joke, wake you up. I don't know if I can remember it, but if I can remember it, I'll tell it to you. So there was a guy and his wife, and they went on a tour of a crocodile farm. Have y'all heard this? They went on a tour of a crocodile farm, and they were in there in a boat. And the tour guide said, our company is a big company. We make crocodile purses and suitcases and everything. We got lots of money. And we've been doing this challenge for, 20 years, and nobody's ever been up to it. If anybody can jump out of this boat and swim to that island, we'll give you $1 million. All of a sudden, this guy just jumps out unannounced and swims like crazy and makes it to the island. It's like, wow. He's like, wow, I guess we got to give you $1 million. So they get back to the hotel, and the manager's like, I heard, congratulations. Man, you had some guts to jump out of that boat. And he said, I didn't jump, I was pushed. His wife pushed him. But anyway, that has nothing to do with the message, but I thought it was funny. Okay. So it's amazing sometimes when God wants to do something, the song, like, we don't orchestrate the song and the message. We don't collaborate. The song, like, is in tune with the message, or maybe something somebody says. She said something about the Great Commission, going to fulfill the Great Commission at the school, And then John said something about seek and save. And yesterday at the men's breakfast, Don Carlson brought up something about his son-in-law, like, going out and seeking, listening to God who sent him to this guy. And so today, how do I get that started? Do I click? Oh, there it is. It's not August 6th. This is just a reminder, and I didn't do it on purpose, but I thought, what a great reminder. On Saturday, you should pray for the message, because somebody's probably fine-tuning it, preparing it, and you should pray for that. But anyway, today's August 7th, so yeah. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's an amazing verse. It's after Zacchaeus, and that's why he came, he came. And he came, and when he was here, he healed people, and he cared about physical needs. But the reason he came was to actually save people, There's two gospels out nowadays, maybe three or four, but like one of them is the social gospel. We've come to help you your physical needs. And in a way, that's not the gospel, but in a way, Jesus is all about that. He healed people, right? But there's something higher than that, that he came. Like the guy who was let down through the roof, he forgave his sins before he healed him, and that was greater. To forgive his sins. And eternity is greater than this, the time we have on this earth. And so Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And how did he come? He came as a man. And the Christmas story, we talk about it all the time, every year, how he came. He came. He did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he humbled himself and he came. And Micah 5:2, his goings forth are from everlasting, yet he's going to be born in Bethlehem. You know, he was born of a woman. And then he like had problems. You know, he was a human being and he had to deal with his brothers and sisters probably picking on him or not. He had to deal with stuff, with human problems. He had to deal with being tempted, but he was without sin, right? He was our Goel, our kinsman redeemer. He came as a man. And he came. In order to come as a man, he had to come. He came. That is so amazing that he did that. But in order to come, he had to go. And go is in the gospel. Like when you spell gospel, go is the first part of it. Go. And why did he come? What reason did he have for coming? Well, love has reasons that reason knows nothing about, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Like, there's no reason behind that. Where's the reasoning? Where's the logic? You know? And we're here and we can't explain it. But God's love doesn't need an explanation. It just is. He's the great I am, and so is his love. And he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Can you imagine that he seeks the lost? He seeks them. He'll send teachers from Williamsburg up here to talk to the kids. He will seek them. He'll look for them. He'll call. He'll call, but he'll also seek. He'll look, but he'll also seek. And like where he goes, he'll be like, there's some bushes or something. Are you over there, little lost sheep? Come here, sheepy. I'm seeking you. So last year we took Marie and Evelyn. They're not here. They were 12 and 13 last year, and their little brother wanted to go to the beach, and he was 8. He looks bigger, but he was 8, and so we took him to the beach and with James and Luigi. James and Luigi are pretty good swimmers. They had boogie boards. I counseled them on rip currents, and then I kind of kept an eye on the others, and they were staying close to the shore near the waves. And then, you know, I told Lee, just like, man, I'm getting, she was sleeping the whole time. You know, I was like, man, I'm getting tired. I wonder if I should take a nap. And she was like, yeah, go ahead. They're fine. They're fine. There's a lifeguard right there. You know, and so I took a 15-minute nap, and I'm awakened by Ainer's missing. Ainer's the little 8-year-old. I was like, what? Are you kidding me? And so it was peak season, and we wanted to get close to the showers on 17th Street so there wouldn't be a bunch of sand in our car on the way home. That was kind of the goal. And so we were near this pier. There's a big pier, and the lifeguard's always blowing the whistle saying, get away from the pier. Everybody knows the pier's there. And Ainer goes like a mile down the other direction. But at first, his sisters didn't tell us. They told the other kids. And then the other kids started looking around. Then it got a little more serious. Then they came and woke me up. And then I'm like, what? You know, so I was like, okay, you go that way, you go that way. Look, we're right next to the pier. You come back right here. You know, the chairs, this color, and da-da-da-da. And so we take off, and we went quite a ways. And didn't find him. And do you think I was close to stopping to look for him? No. My thought was, eventually I'm going to have to call his parents and the police, and I'm not going to stop looking for him, right? And he was like two lifeguard stands down, crying, and the lifeguard had gotten him and made him sit there. And then one of the teenagers found him, came back, and the lifeguard said an adult has to come back and get him. And I came back and got him. And but that was interesting. I would seek and save that lost boy, and I wasn't going to quit. You know, but think about, okay, that's me. He's not even my kid. Not even my kid. Imagine if it was your kid that disappeared. And we used to play games in the store, but it was just a game. The game was we're in Walmart or something, and the kids daydreaming or walking off, and I'd get the other kids. I was like, come on. I'd run behind some clothes, and like I'd be watching them, but they'd be like, where'd they go, you know? And then I'd be like, see, you could have got lost. You better stay with us. And so, but if your kid really got lost, you'd be the one flipping out, not the kid. You'd be down. My mom used to, in the old days, before cell phones and all, we were a little older. We'd get a thing on the intercom at the store. Could the Smith kids come to the service desk or something like that? You know? but what would you do? Like, okay, older people from a little older. First thing you do, and older people know this. Johnny! Johnny! You know, like your mom would yell in the neighborhood or would yell, even in the country, if you're off in the woods or something, they'd yell at the top of their lungs your name, right? And they'd start looking for you. That's how it would start. And then it would start, they might be go to where your kids are playing or to a friend's house. But as time went on, it would start getting more serious and they'd start knocking on doors, making phone calls. And eventually, they call the police and they get other people to help, right? They get other people to help. And eventually you go on national TV. You would put the kid's picture on a milk carton or in the post office, like back in the day. Nowadays, what would you do? Social media or Dorcas or whatever it is, you know? It's like you'd be typing away. And would you stop? No. There's mothers out there. I watched some stuff on like Ancestry.com DNA testing where they find their parent that they lost or something. And the kid was taken from them or something. The mother said, I never quit looking, or the kid never quit looking. And they found him. Now, I'll have a story for you one day about some of my testimony about what I found. But anybody ever remember a girl named Elizabeth Smart? Yeah, she got a lot of media coverage. She was in Utah. She was kidnapped from her bedroom. And the kidnapper took her like 3 miles away and was holding up. And they had a search party go out. And the girl heard the search party, but was the guy had a knife and told the kid that he'd kill the family and kill her. She was so scared she wouldn't cry out. And so then the parents, do you think they stopped? No, when the police stopped, they went on the media and accused them of being slackers so they could get more media attention and more attention and get that kid's picture out there more and more and more. And that's what caused it to happen, that a cop, she gave a false name to a cop. And I think she had done it before, but this cop, the one that finally found her, had seen that picture and was in tune with what, like we should be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, like I was on a bus one time and I was just like tired. I just want to go to sleep. And then this person brings up the Lord. You know, they brought it up. What am I supposed to do? You're supposed to like be ready, right? You're supposed to be ready. And this cop was ready. He saw her, and what did the cop? The cop said, "What's your name?" She gave a false name, and she said, "Are you Elizabeth Smart?" She gave a false name because she had been tortured, she had been in bondage, she had been threatened. And the cop said, "Are you Elizabeth Smart?" There are actually backslidden believers that are living in fear, and it's like, Do you know? Are you a child of God? But then there's also ones that are living in fear that don't know there's a way out of the bondage. And sin is bondage, right? And Satan. And so Elizabeth Smart was saved. And there are lost people and there are scared people. How about a coal mine? You know, if you got lost in a coal mine, they're lost in a coal mine. and they keep looking for those people and looking for them, and they know they're somewhere in this area, and they start drilling, they start digging, they might have run out of oxygen, they might be dead, but they'll still be digging for 3 days, right? They're not going to give up, and they get more help and more help. And how about if you, would you look just a little bit? Would you look for your lost cell phone? If somebody lost their cell phone, would you look for it? We were in the woods putting up a tree stand, and I lost my cell phone. And so not only would you look for it, you'd think of creative ways to find it. I finally waited till dark and had my buddy call it, and it was upside down in the leaves, but it was enough light to where I could find it, you know? And so you would find creative ways. You would find it. And cell phone's probably not a good example, but eventually you would just get a new one, right? But and a dog's not a good example either, although we have great examples of dogs and how they relate to people, right? My wife can't stand when I talk about training the dogs is like training kids. She's like, no, it's not. Kids are not dogs. But there's some, consistency and things like that. That's good, So people lose their dogs, what do they do? They still, old-fashioned way, there was a kitty cat. There's a poster at the end of our street, Whiteshop Road, lost little kitty cat with a picture of the cat. Sometimes they even put reward, lost dog. If you're on Facebook, Culpeper Community, they put lost dogs all the time. And so to seek and to save the lost, and this is more like, I'm going to talk about the Great Commission, but there's a couple aspects of it. One is preaching the gospel, and the other one is once they're saved, discipling them, right? And so this would be more along the line of discipleship, but you'd leave the 99 and go after the one. Jesus would leave, a shepherd would leave the 99 and go after the one. And so one day I was late to church because I was talking to somebody about the Lord and they were really open. And I was like, sorry, But that's the way it is. There was a little child lost in the Adirondacks for 3 days. 3 days in the Adirondacks, and they got a search party. Guess who manned the search party? Volunteers. And guess what was the reward was? That you found the kid. And there are real rewards. There's a crown of rejoicing, but there's a real reward in just finding the lost one, right? That's a reward in and of itself. A precious stone that's eternal. A gem with greater earthly value than the Hope Diamond. Right? What good is it if a man gains the whole world but loses his soul? Worth more than the whole world. And where nothing can take it. Moths, rust, thieves can't steal this investment. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And so my wife always gets on me and says, you got to give an application. And I'm kind of like, the Holy Spirit can give the application. But so in application, specifically, the Holy Spirit will have to speak to you, okay? That's the application. But generally, the gospel has go in it. The Son of Man has come. Did I go one too far? Boop. Yeah, we're still on come. We were on seeking to save. Yeah, we're back to come, I guess. God sent his Son. Isn't there a song about that? You're good with God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to live, heal, and forgive. He sent his Son. So he was sent, but he also went. So we can't forget the went part. And so I was thinking about, with this church especially, somebody like Mason, he showed up a lot of places, right? He sent, but he also had to leave his house. He went. He was sent, but he also went. Don's story yesterday, his son-in-law is driving down the road and he sees this guy broken down and he feels God saying, stop and help him, talk to him. And he, did he hesitate? And then he heard it again. Yeah, he heard it twice. So once God has spoken, twice I have heard it. So he turned around and he went back and he helped the guy and he talked to the guy and he befriended the guy and a miracle of miracles, former Jehovah's Witness ends up receiving Christ. You know, like, that's a miracle right there. But he was sent, but he turned around and went. You know, he went. And so the Son of Man has come. We'll back up to that. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Like, every gospel has the Grace Commission in it. You know, the Great Commission was coined by men, so I can call it the Grace Commission if I want. Pastor Schiavelli calls it that. But as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And then another gospel that has the Grace Commission, well, all four of them have it. And he said, go into the world, into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. And somebody said, I think somebody said to Pastor Schiavelli, should we go there? And he said, are they creatures? Then yeah, we're going there. You know, if there's people there, we're going there, you know. And he sends you. So that's like a commission, right? You have the authority because the one in authority sent you, right? And you're an ambassador. You go in his name. And where are you going? Well, all the world. Well, all the world, the some of the hardest conversations on the planet can be right across the room from you. Or at the gas station. Or somewhere like really close. Your neighbor. Like, that's like, because you're going to see your neighbor all the time. You can always do it tomorrow. Right? Sometimes it's the hardest thing to talk to say God or Jesus, like, get it out of your mouth to your neighbor, because you'll see him tomorrow. You'll see him tomorrow. But so you go all the way across your yard, all the way next door, all the way wherever it is, to Moldova or wherever, and you preach. You got to open your mouth to do that. The gospel to everyone. And it doesn't say everyone will receive it, but, and then, so we have this this one, it's a very subtle, like, differentiation in the gospel, and it's a play on friendship evangelism. And friendship evangelism is awesome. Like, it works really well with Muslims, and, like, there's certain things that work well with certain types of groups of people. But God could lead you in a different direction also. You know, Muslims understand judgment. You could start with that. You know, like, but there are certain things. Like, so friendship evangelism is awesome. But living a good life is awesome. And you're an example to other people. But if you never tell them about Jesus, it's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. And the other one is the social gospel, like doing good things. And Jesus healed people. Jesus did good things. But when the rubber met the road and there was somebody saying, give your money to the poor, he saw some higher things out there. You know, we'll always have the poor. You got Jesus right now. And he came to seek and save the lost. He came with a purpose on a mission. When Peter said, oh no, don't go to the cross, he said, get behind me, Satan. He came to go to the cross. And the cross, the blood of Jesus, is what pays for our sins. It's not being good. Like, the Mormons are good, Jehovah's Witnesses are good. Like, there's lots of good. The Raritan Club's good. You know, there's a lot of good things out there, but if you don't tell them about Jesus and forgiveness, then it's not the gospel. And so I'll tell you a little bit about what happened with Legia. They have a thing where they go to different towns in Moldova and they set up health clinics. And like, they can actually get distracted from the true mission by focusing on the health clinic. But they're serving the people. But then what that does is opens up their heart. They're already poor and they're sick and they feel loved and it opens up their heart. But they still need the gospel, because even more important than their health is their spiritual health, right? And so the greatest problem the world has is not clean water. The greatest problem the world has is sin, you know? And like, you got to tell it like it is. There's a death, a burial, and a resurrection, and that's the gospel. And it has power. There's power. You believe that there's power involved in the gospel? When you tell somebody about what Jesus did on the cross, this simple little thing, power in the simple gospel, the simple gospel. And do you believe the weightier matters are love and mercy or justice and mercy? The justice is the cross, and you combine that with love, right? The weightier matters, I mean, you can still not leave the other matters undone. You can still tithe on the anise and the cumin. But, like, don't leave the weightier matters undone. God believes that love is a weightier matter, that because he loved the world and he gave his only begotten son. And so, you know, what is man that you are mindful of him? Like, who am I? And who are you? Like, we're like ants, but yet we're the apple of his eye. He loves people. He loves us. And so a little testimony, Legia had, so in Moldova, Becca and Esther, Becca just got passed her nursing test, and Esther's her first year nursing student. So Becca was helping the doctors, and then Esther was going on house calls with doctors and counselors and stuff. And Legia was there, and she speaks fluent Romanian. Becca speaks a little bit of Romanian. But Legia was there, and she got to counsel the people before and after they met with the doctor and also do some follow-up stuff. And she led 26 people to the Lord to pray to receive Christ as their Savior. And, yeah, one day it was 14 people. And you know what? It's not about numbers either, but like, praise God, in a way it is, like 14 people, that's awesome. But it's not about numbers. God would send her over there for one person, you know, like, because he came to die for you. If you were the only person in the world, he would have died for you. And there's a faith and there's obedience, faith, obedience. There's not just obedience to a set of rules, but there's a faith, and then there's obedience to trust in God. And so you can spend quality time with just one person, and it may take decades. It might take their entire life. If on their deathbed they receive Christ, then that's awesome. Like, Christ would do that. He died on the cross. He would spend 50 years with somebody talking to him, right? And also, you could pass out 1,000 tracts, and you could do everything in between that, right? Because, like, in the search party, you're putting it on milk cartons, and you're going on the media, and you're going door to door, and you're looking, you're personally, like, just looking. Are you Elizabeth Smart? Are you Elizabeth Smart? You know, like, did you dye your hair? Do you know, what's going on? You're seeking and saving the lost, and there's not one method. It's not about a method. It's about the heart of God, and like, God can lead you in that, however it is. And we need volunteers for the search party. We're organizing a search party. We need volunteers. And John 4 says, pray for laborers. In one sense, we rest in God. It's his work, and only he can save people, and only he can do it. But in another sense, we enter into his work by faith, and it's not easy. And don't say, oh, in 4 months. He'll be ready in 4 months. And it says, don't say that. The harvest is white now. Now. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. I was thinking too, like, he'll leave the 99 and go after the one. He's probably done that with you. Time or two. You know? If he hasn't, you know. God bless you. He's done that with me quite a few times. And you think, no matter who, what background you come from, I mean, you could be raised with witches, or you could be raised with Christians. He sought you out, and God uses people to speak the message too. He doesn't send, you know, he can send visions and angels too, but generally it's people that speak, preach the gospel, that tell other people about Jesus. And so in closing, he's given us a commission. He's given us authority, right? Because he sent us. He's given us power. In Acts 1:8, it says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll give you power to be witnesses for me in Jerusalem. Like, say, people from Bible College in Baltimore go out, and they're going out from Baltimore. That's their Jerusalem. But if we're going out from here, this is our Jerusalem. But the semantics really don't matter. Like, Richmond might be Judea and Samaria. Moldova might be the ends of the earth. But we go out in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Like, there's no limit. There's no limit. All the way from Williamsburg to Culpeper. Like, there's no limit. And knocking, seeking. Are you Elizabeth Smart? And pray for this guy. His name, you might have met him. He worked at Walmart for a long time, and then he worked at Lowe's. His name's Dilip. He's an Indian guy. And I was always really nice to him, and I, for some reason, Dilip just stuck in my mind. And I was like, how's it going, Dilip? Have a good day. I don't know how you work with these bright lights. They make me tired just standing here. You know, I just like have conversation with him for years, probably 10, 20 years. I don't know. Dilip's been working at Walmart and Lowe's. And we knock on Dilip's door yesterday. And his wife was pretty closed. And then when she found out we were talking about God, and then I told her my friend Atul Singh told me an Indian joke. You want to hear it? And she was like, yeah. And he's like, why do Indians like to own Dunkin' Donuts? And she's like, why? He's like, they like to roll in the dough. And then she started laughing, and she kind of lightened up a little bit. And then she was listening for a little while, and then her husband, who's that? You know, and she said, blah, 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 in Hindi, church. I caught church. But and he was like, no, you know, you could tell he was against it, you know. And I was like, oh, hey, Dilip. So Dilip kind of like, he was like kind of let his guard down a little bit. And there was a little crack where I threw some seeds in there, you know, threw some seeds in the door. And, you know, you could be on an old sidewalk and there's a black-eyed Susan coming up in the crack. You know, you just got to find that good dirt. You just got to find that good dirt. A flower can grow almost anywhere it can find that place to root. You go, sometimes you see in the rocks, there'll be like a cedar tree growing right out of the rock. It somehow found its way down in that good dirt, right? And so just pray for Dilip. But, well, let's pray. We'll close. Father, just thank you for loving us and sending your son. Thank you for seeking us out. Thank you for, even though we're wander off and get lost, that you come after us and seek us again, Lord. And we just love you. And if anybody's here and they've never received God's love, they've never received what he's done on the cross for you, he loves you. And just call on the name of the Lord. Just say, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I want that. I receive that. In Jesus' name, amen. So since it's I have a little bit of time before I have to leave for the airport, can you put the other slide on? I'm sure I told Legion, the kids, they have to give a presentation when they get back, but I'll give you a little update. I just can't help it. Don't tell her I did this, okay? So they flew into Istanbul, and then went to Bucharest, and then went through a train to a place called Lahitsa. They went to a conference there. Then they took a train to Iași. They met some dentists that were volunteering, got in their car, spent 5 hours at the border. Then they went up to Soldenesti. So on the way back, they had to catch a plane out of Iași. So they got a ride to the train station in Chișinău. Well, they actually stayed with some of Lija's mom's, somebody she knows. And then the next morning, took a train to Iași, and then Becca parted ways. Becca took an overnight sleeper train to Arad. And Legion and Esther and Carissa went to Vienna, had a day layover, took the train, saw downtown Vienna, and then they're going to land in Dulles at 2:35. So that's the gist of it. But anyway, so this was in Blahitsa, and these guys here are Romanian, and there was a bunch of other Romanians and stuff there, but I really like this picture because this guy is amazing. He can tell some funny jokes too. And the kid said, "I cannot believe you told him we said he looked like Mr. Bean." But anyway, but he's a amazing heart for God. He loves God so much. And he's very humble. And actually, this guy too, this guy is Pastor Stan Collins. And he is in Rosario, Argentina right now. But before that, he planted three churches in Lima, Peru. And young people would go down there to Lima for a year before going somewhere else on the mission field. He and his wife never had kids, and they love young people. And they, like, disciple them. And anyway, like, some really, now they're probably, like, 30 or something. But, like, they became pastors and missionaries and all that. Like, he's just, and when he preaches, it's like you're sitting with John Clark. You know, it's just like so laid back and so mild and just like, it's simple but deep. And anyway, and then this is John Boyce, I think. He's a pastor in England of a church full of Romanians. And so he's got the Romanian connection going on. And, you know, the rest. Anyway, that's this is Mari and Timotei, but Mari is the one that I made the mistake of telling her that, you know, Legia's family, they all speak English. You know, they speak English very well. They speak English at work. And how come they speak Romanian? You know, Legia said, "Oh, they always think we're talking about him when we speak Romanian." And I was like, "Well, you are." And Mari was like, "Well, how can you tell?" I said, "Well, it's pretty obvious when I hear blah, 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 Tom, ha, 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 then I know they're talking about me," right? So now, I don't know what she says, but she comes up to a group of Romanians, and I'm sure she says in Romania, when I say his name, laugh, but anyway, she says blah, 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 and then she says Tom, and everybody starts laughing. Anyway, this is, they spent 5 hours at the border getting across. This is in Moldova where they stayed. It was at a pastor's house. This is where they're setting up the, I guess, the doctor's offices. And they didn't give me a whole lot of feedback. You know, when we talked on the phone, I didn't talk a lot of details. But I think this is where they signed up to go to the doctor's office. I don't know. And this is a tent meeting. And this is, who is it? I can't see. That's Becca and Esther. I think this is when they're first starting. And this lady's name is Sylvia Raevsky. She's got a Ukrainian or Polish name, but she is Romanian. And she's an amazing woman. But anyway, there's Becca. I mean, Legia. And there's Becca. And they just gave me stuff. I just give you some background. Everybody that comes here from Europe is like, I just can't believe y'all don't have fences or walls around your yard. How do you know where the boundaries are? Anyway, just one thing I liked about Moldova and certain parts of Romania, they have like neat wrought iron and like carved wood doors and stuff like that on the gates and fences. But anyway, just rock walls. And so you said fruit trees in every yard, gardens in every yard. They didn't give me an explanation. I don't know if this is the path they took to get there or just looked like a cool path to take a picture of. But a lot of the ladies wear kerchiefs, and that's for Will. Will likes cats, so. And you can go to Moldova; they have cats there too. So, and then, yeah, just some pictures. And this is called Girls for God, or Girls of God, and Chris is right there. She helped with them, and This lady here has terminal cancer, the last stage of cancer, and she prayed to receive Christ. So, yeah. And that's it.